ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred, no A.J., but if you're watching on the Facebook feed, you just saw Jermaine give a very enthusiastic crotch chop.
That's right.
As an ode to D-Generation X.
Dude, I don't care what nobody says, and I catch flack for this all the time. I was a huge wrestling fan when I was a kid, and I'm still a huge wrestling fan right now.
I liked it when I was a kid. I watched it for the brief period that Stone Cold and The Rock and D-Generation X were on top. Like, that was the time where I really paid attention to it. Of course, I always knew who Hulk Hogan was,
right,
and Andre
right.
the Giant. And if it was on, I'd watch it. But I didn't buy pay-per-views until that era.
Let me tell you.
The WWE. It was still the WWF at the time.
WWF, yeah. I used to know a couple people that would, you know, put the chip in your box back then.
Oh, yeah.
So I got them all for free. But before that, when it was just wire to TV cable and you had to pay pay-per-views, my little brother and I would listen to them. The viewing signal would be scrambled. You couldn't see it.
But you could hear
but
everything.
But you could still hear everything that was going on. So that's how we used to, quote unquote, watch wrestling pay-per-views.
That is poorly done by the cable companies.
Oh, dude. This was, well, I'm talking about like 89, 90, 91. That was back in the day. That's what we did. But real quick, because we have Corey hanging on the line and he wants to talk about something that's going to get me rattled. The last sporting event that I had that for people to watch until football holds you over was Wimbledon. And it's basically because of the tradition, the pomp and circumstance, the all white, you know, how
strawberries and cream in the stands.
Oh,
and
man, how polite everybody is. And
you just got like super high marks in my wife's book. So Wimbledon is her bucket list sporting event to go to.
Dude, I don't blame her. I would love to go one day, but I know it's going to be crazy expensive. And I think when you and I had talked about this during the break, things that helped bump up like tennis and hockey and golf was the invention of HDTV.
Absolutely.
And I do not mind getting up at, you know, 4, 5, 6 in the morning to watch the Wimbledon tennis finals live.
Oh, I wake up at 6 o'clock on Saturday mornings during the fall and watch Premier League. So it's
heck yeah.
It's no different. So I completely agree with that. And I'll watch the Wimbledon finals live because that's cool. I'm not going to sit there and watch every match for Wimbledon.
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Going to it would be somewhere on my sports bucket list.
Right.
But it's pretty far down. It's not in the top five. It's not the Masters, the World Cup. It's not those things.
Right. Those things are like premier, like top of the line. Like, I gotta do it before I die. I would love to do it before I die. But like with the EPL in the falls, Saturdays, I've been late to work. Because I'm sitting there trying to watch a match.
Well, and it's also the perfect lead-in to college football in the mornings, too. It really is the perfect lead-in. It starts at 6,
yeah.
And it really ends about 11, all the games for the day, and that's when the first kickoff is for college football. So it's perfect. But to get to Wimbledon, you probably have to pay a pretty high price for a plane ticket.
Yeah.
And Corey wants to talk about expensive flights, so we'll... We'll bring Corey in on the HRNP listener line.
Segue, ladies and gentlemen, because we're radio professionals. What's up, Corey?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Sports and random crap. Yep. So, no, you were talking about, man, trying to get a flight out to Nebraska, out to Omaha, and how expensive it is. Man, my grandparents live out near Jackson, Mississippi, and if you want to talk about some good homemade food, you said apple pie earlier. Man, they made the best fried apricot pie you will ever have.
Ooh.
My grandmother will take that recipe to her grave. Nobody knows how to make it. But as far as flights go, man, you cannot catch a direct flight into Jackson to save your life. You always have to fly out of Houston to Atlanta, and then from Atlanta back to Jackson.
I
have no
really
idea why. Maybe it's because Atlanta is one of the hubs that's out there, just like Hobby. here is a Southwest hub. We're like out in Phoenix, you got Sky Harbor Airport. That's another hub. I don't know what the deal is with trying to fly into major cities like Omaha or like Jackson, Mississippi. But, man, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I've been to Oxford, Mississippi for Ole Miss game, go to the Grove and do all that. And everyone who flew into Memphis and drove down. We drove from Houston. We took part of our group did a road trip. And it's really not that long of a deal. I would think because you have to fly through Atlanta, it's probably better to just make the drive.
Wouldn't it be easier, Corey, to fly into New Orleans and then drive to Jackson?
I think we dropped Corey, but thank you for the call, Corey. We really appreciate it. Yeah, prices are ridiculous. He mentioned fried pies in Jackson from his grandmother. Oh. The two things you'll get if you go to my wife's grandmother's house, you'll get fresh apple pie, and you will get a huge batch of Manhattans ready for you to drink.
What is a Manhattan?
It's whiskey, bitters, simple syrup.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. She will not go without her Manhattan. And my grandmother-in-law will go all night. She doesn't go to bed at 7. She'll drink with you, drink all night long.
Dude, your grandmother-in-law sounds like my type of old lady.
Oh,
like,
she would be your type of old lady.
I love
lady
old
sure.
people who are cool like that, who, you know, they cook, you know, they have a few drinks with you, because old people have such this character about themselves. Either they're old and bitter and cranky, and it's just fun to see them just be pissed off all the time. Or they're jovial, you know, storytelling, you know. But all of them have this sort of wisdom about them. It's some sort of wisdom that you can't get through just any, like, learning. It's through life experience. And that's what I enjoy about older folks. Corey, I just want to make sure I tell you this. Tell your grandmother to stop being so damn selfish and write that recipe down. And let that be her lasting legacy. Don't be selfish with recipes, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a good recipe out there and people love that food, that dessert, that cake, that pie, that dish, whatever it is, don't be selfish. Share that with the world.
My wife is steady trying to get her grandmother's cinnamon roll recipe. Like, that's for the last 2 months that's been a mission. She hadn't been able to get it yet, but she's getting close. She's getting there.
I was talking to my grandmother and I told her, I said, you know, when you pass, I said, I don't want anything else. I only want two things. And she was like, okay, what's that? I said, I want you to give me that little box of recipes that you have and write down the ones that you've told me over the years, because I'm going to forget, and the pictures that you have. Because my grandmother, her idea of, she was like, I said, you know, how do you make the roux for the beef stew when you make the beef stew? She was like, oh, get a cooking spoon of flour, this much oil, and put about this much onion. And she doesn't measure stuff. So she just says about this much.
Because she's made it a million times and she doesn't have to measure anything, because a little bit of this and a little bit of that makes it perfect.
And it's like a pinch of this and some of that, and you throw this here, and if you make enough extra, you can freeze it and use it later. And it's just, there's nothing like set specific. Like, I want to write a cookbook and word it the way she would word it to me. Both of my grandmothers, even my grandmother that passed away, she would teach me how to cook the exact same way. I would just have to watch what they're doing and then replicate that.
I got a text from a buddy saying Corey may need to reevaluate his flying purchases, I guess.
Uh-huh.
This buddy of mine flies United direct to Jackson out of IAH every month.
Oh, Corey. How did you not know that?
Well, maybe it's different. Maybe United just added the route. Maybe
they,
this is over the last,
maybe,
like,
they could have.
Maybe Corey hasn't done it for 3 years, and 2 years ago they added the route. So
true.
Let's not kill Corey on that. I'm just saying, Corey, if you got to go back to Jackson, look again. I'm told that there's a direct to Jackson from Intercontinental, and a buddy of mine does it once a month.
But here's the thing. No matter if you're flying to Jackson, L.A., Omaha, wherever you're flying, if you're flying out of Houston, it's going to be more expensive.
Because we had to renovate the Astrodome. Thanks, John, for voting for that one.
Y'all just couldn't let it die, could you?
No, John would let it die, just for the record. We don't.
John, you would let it die?
Yeah, I'm on the blow it up bandwagon.
Why do we want to keep the Astrodome? Like, what is the purpose of it? If you can call in and give me a compelling reason to keep the Astrodome,
By compelling, we mean something that will convince us to move off of our pivot, which we are very hard to do. So it better be a damn good argument, because it's a big piece of crap that houses a lot of rats and just a bunch of BS. And the damn thing needs to be blown up and turned into a parking lot.
713-780-3776. 713-780-3776, if you want to call that. When we come back, the NBA official referee's Twitter is making a big mistake. I'll tell you what it is. You're listening to The Blitz.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
From your HondaofHouston.com, ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, this report is sponsored by Dell. I-10, the Katy Freeway, eastbound at Eldridge. Watch for an accident in a left lane. There's also a problem downtown on I-45, northbound at North Street. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BY-DELL. This traffic update's brought to you by HondaofHouston.com. Schedule your Goldwing demo ride today.
Step back out of my way, head first into the maze. I won't be
broken.
Never stop or hesitate.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
No Fred, no AJ. Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Avery, John Snow here. Find us on Twitter. I'm at @C_KOSH. At @_Jermaine and at Jong Snow with a 0 instead of an O in snow. Went over a lot in the first hour. We talked expensive flights. We talked, unfortunately, still talking about kneeling in the NFL.
Good Lord.
Tired of that topic just a little bit. It's rough. Oliver Luck, new commissioner in the XFL. But I mentioned something before we hit the break. Said the NBA official referee's Twitter is making a big mistake tomorrow night. And here's what it is. They will be live tweeting during game 3 and answering questions from fans. How do you think that's going to go, Jermaine?
It's going to go down like the Hindenburg. Pretty much. It's going to be a flaming disaster. There's no reason why they should even consider doing anything remotely close to live tweeting an NBA Finals game with as horrid as the officiating has been this playoffs.
Considering the fact that half of the city of Houston blames the officials for Game 6 and Game 7 losses.
Which is dumb,
but the officiating wasn't good in either of those games, but it wasn't the reason the Rockets lost either. You think any Rockets fans are going to be trolling that live tweet session?
You said you'd give them what? A half?
Oh, I gave them half a quarter.
Half a quarter.
Before they stopped tweeting about it, because no one trusts the officiating anyway. Basketball fans as a whole are the worst when it comes to the officials. No player has ever committed. Tim Duncan still has never committed a foul in his own opinion.
Oh, no.
Neither has Draymond Green. And the fans of whoever the home team is think their team is getting screwed regardless.
Draymond Green has never committed a foul. Neither has Kendrick Perkins.
Oh, no, never.
Never. This is one of the dumbest things I've heard for a long time from the NBA refs. That Twitter account is going to give more excuses than a significant other that got caught cheating.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awful. I really think either the person running the account is going to be hitting the mute button all night or the block button all night, or they're going to pull it before the end of the first quarter. It's just an awful idea. Even if the refs had a perfect game, it wouldn't matter. It would still be an awful idea because they're going to get nothing but hate the entire time.
That Twitter account is going to basically turn into a defense attorney trying to get a guilty guy off. It's going to be a lot of I don't even think they're going to be responding to tweets. I think they're just going to be live tweeting.
They say they're going to be responding to tweets.
BS. They almost made me curse on air. That's a no. See, I can't even talk about this without trying to not curse because it's so difficult and it's so frustrating because they're full of crap. There is no way in hell that they're going to reply to tweets. They're going to reply to select tweets, but I guarantee you they're going to reply to tweets who are being nice to them.
Oh, it's like a Reddit AMA. They don't answer all the questions. They pick the ones they want to do, but this is a direct quote from their tweet. We're live tweeting game three, reacting and responding in real time. Join the hashtag RefWatchParty with us on Twitter tomorrow night. Also, that there's got to be an award for worst hashtag ever.
RefWatchParty.
That's really bad.
You know, here's the thing. This is the only inkling of feeling sorry for this profession that I have. Is that referees, umpires, officials, they get critiqued more on their job than just about anybody else out there.
By the general public, yes, you are correct. And it's not to say that their job is not difficult. It's extremely difficult, whatever they're doing. It's very hard to do. It's very hard to get to the level to where you're reffing professionally or even at the collegiate level on anything. And when you have half a dozen or a dozen cameras on you, and everyone is hypersensitive and wants to diagnose every single outcome and every single play, it makes it tough. That doesn't mean the standard for what a quality official is should drop.
And, you know, I don't mind that they're, trying is one thing, but you need to fix certain issues. And something like this isn't going to go over with their Q rating very much. It's not going to make you more popular. It's not going to make people hate you any less. If anything, it's going to worsen everything.
It doesn't help that referees have some of the most fragile egos ever.
Oh my God.
Tim Duncan got kicked out of a game for laughing on the bench. That is a thing.
Yeah.
Because Danny Crawford didn't like Tim Duncan laughing or thought he was laughing at him.
Rasheed, remember the time Rasheed Wallace got a technical for staring at a ref?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just they're supposed to be there to make sure the game is played within the confines of the rules as set forth by the league.
And we would never have to have this discussion if there was any level of actual accountability.
If the quality of the officiating was better, and some of the rules that they have that they actually adhere to, like the changing of the charge to the block call on LeBron James when all you're supposed to be looking at was he in the restricted area or not?
But that's not even the thing. Once they went to the tape, they could look at whether it was a block or a charge. That's in the rules. They should have never been looking in the first place because LeBron was a foot and a half outside the restricted area.
It was a Trojan horse call, basically. Yeah,
they basically said, well, this gives us, we'll say we're doing this, but we don't really need to. Lamont tweeted in and asked, will Brian Colangelo tweet at the NBA? It depends. Are you asking if he's going to tweet from his account or from one of his quote-unquote wife's burner accounts?
Oh, yeah. The wife did it. The old Roger Clemens defense. It ain't mine.
I can't believe we didn't talk about that last Friday. Was the weirdest story of Brian Colangelo and all that. All his Twitter accounts defending him and trying to bury Sam Hinkie and the stuff he did while he was the Sixers GM, and then tweeting out medical information on players.
But
medical information is an actual crime.
Right.
That is a HIPAA violation.
Exactly. You know, one thing I always wondered in all of this burner account info and this and that and the back and forth, and just I wonder if one of Brian Colangelo's burner accounts ever interacted with Kevin Durant's burner accounts.
I don't know. That's burnerception right there.
You know, that's one of those things where it's so deep into like the fragility of the mind of public figures and professional athletes to where you create burner accounts to try to defend yourself online. I talked to my son, we were talking about this, and he was like, that's so lame, that's so weak. You know, he's a 15-year-old, and he just thinks that's the stupidest thing. And I'm like, well, son, it's not actually that dumb because people want to do these types of things. They just don't want other people to know that it's them.
I mean, from the Kevin Durant side, I No, I don't get it. I was going to try and do it. I can't.
See, that's that inner longhorn in you. You want to defend him.
I wanted to say, like, his players, they can't clap back in the media, but Brian Colangelo can't clap back in the media either. So it's the same situation. So I can't defend Kevin Durant and then smash on Brian Colangelo being terrible for doing it. So
they're both idiots.
They're both idiots. I agree. Jermaine, it's time to get on the map. SportsMap.com is your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. The site covers all your favorite teams, trends, and events. Check out content from some of your favorite radio hosts, John Granato, Lance Zierlein, Charlie Pulillo, Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, Patrick Creighton, Barry Warner, AJ Hoffman, and Fred Fowler, as well as Jermaine Every. If you aren't on SportsMap every day, you're missing out. Check it out right now, SportsMap.com. All right, we're an hour and a half in. Hour and a half to go.
We have more for you in store after this break. There are some things that we want to get into.
HRNP, listener lines open, 713-780-3776.
All right,
cut you off.
We're going to need opinions on.
We're going to need opinions. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to The Blitz. From the bottom of my American
heart, I pray you make it home. Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Behold the king. The king of kings.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Welcome back to The Blitz. Sorry for all you regulars. Fred and AJ are still on vacation. Fred will be back tomorrow, though. AJ next week. Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Every, Jon Snow filling in. Well, Jon's not filling in. He's always here. He's the man, myth, the legend.
They needed a teacher with us two degenerates in here.
Well, you know, nobody has called in and given us a sponsorship for John to go to Comic-Con, and that's a little disappointing. But we'll get to that. We'll get back to that a little later. I want to welcome in Houston Chronicle columnist Jerome Solomon. Find him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Jerome, welcome into the Blitz. How you doing today?
What up, fellas?
Nothing much.
Hey, Jerome, real quick, we were talking about, and this has been rehashed over and over, but if you could just go over your thoughts about this Astrodome tax and how it's going to affect the travel in the airport, and what are your general overall thoughts about this whole process?
I don't have any thoughts about the Astrodome tax. I know you're mad about it. No, I'm
I mean, it's just the travel thing, man. It's like, just blow the damn thing up and do something sensible with it already.
What makes you think they're not doing something sensible with it? Why you want to blow stuff up? Why are you so violent? What's wrong? Is that how you've been raised? Is that the problem? You got violence in your heart?
We could get to that at another day, Jerome. That's going to be another day, another time.
What are you talking about? He used to watch wrestling through the Scrambled Channel. Of course he's got violence in his heart.
Well, that speaks a lot to your mentality, that you just want to blow up a building. What has the Astrodome ever done to you? Nothing at all, right?
Well, so now it's making my flights more expensive because we're getting taxed. So that
exactly.
That's life in the city. How much do you fly? Come on. Really?
I don't like to fly, personally.
You're flying so much that you got to whine about the little airport tax that you got to fly out of. Are you flying as much as a businessman who flies four, five, six times a week? You know, are you platinum on any of the airline frequent flyer programs like I've been?
No, but I do have a lot of clients at my real job who do fly like that. And if they're spending more money at the airport, they're not giving me more of their money.
I got a friend who's got about 4 million lifetime miles.
If your clients are flying, that's corporate money. It doesn't matter. The price of the ticket is the price of the ticket. That doesn't really affect their travel that much.
All right, Jerome, let's get into some actual sports talk instead of blowing up buildings talk. This is a simple question. The answer is probably less simple. What are the Astros going to do, if anything, to address this bullpen?
I mean, well, one, they're playing it out a little bit in a sense of they're trying to figure out how to get it how to get to the end of the race without doing anything too crazy. And that's logical in a lot of ways, because you can do all you want to make this bullpen something right now, and then when the playoffs come around, it could all blow up in your face and you just wasted a whole lot of energy trying to redo something that you didn't have to. The bullpen is not the same in the regular season when you get to the playoffs. The way you use the bullpen is completely different. You have arms in the bullpen that you don't have during the regular season that you'll have in the playoffs. So they have to be smart about it. They can't blow things up. They do need, Ken Giles, he can be really, really good, but he is not at all dependable, and he showed that last year in the playoffs when they had to stop using him. They need one person that they know they can go to, and they, even if they want to use A.J. Hinch's plan of it doesn't have to be a quote-unquote closer because he doesn't want to use the C word, and yeah, I don't care what you call him, but you need a guy that you know you can go to and get an out or two or three whenever you need it, whether it's in the eighth inning, seventh inning, or ninth inning, and they really just don't have that, and they're going to have to go get that done before the season is over, and that's probably going to happen at the trade deadline.
Jerome, do you see the Astros making a different move, like let's say for another bat in the lineup, considering the way the bats have been looking so far this season?
I don't really think that's necessary. I mean, they've got a lot of guys on that roster who start off generally slow, and it's about time for them to crank it up a little bit. And they're scoring runs. They're scoring enough runs to do damage. It's not like they're afraid of playing against anybody at the time, but you always want to get better. You want to improve. So I can see them, you don't cut off any options or any possibilities, but there's no need to panic. That's the thing. And I think fans are panicking, and I understand it. It's looked like it's supposed to be better, but they're on pace to win almost 100 games. People like would only be happy if they were on pace to win 120, to break the all-time record or something. So panicking is not the right move at this time. They have bats. They got bats in the minor leagues, guys that they can move up. I don't have a problem with them giving these guys a full shot of, seeing if they can work themselves out of their doldrums, and then when they don't, say, look, it's going to be replaced. But I just don't see them, trading guys, young guys who they still have control over, especially young guys in the minor leagues, to get a bat or two where you've got such great pitching, you have really good hitting, you had enough to win it last year, you'll have enough to win it this year, so no need in killing yourself. The bullpen, though, that's a concern.
I'm glad you brought that up, because when I asked that question, I had it in mind. Make a move. I didn't necessarily mean a trade, but like you said, bring up some of the guys from the minors. Real quick, before we let you go, Jerome, I wrote an article for Sports Map about the sporting events that'll hold you over in the summer until football returns. The World Cup, men's college baseball, the U.S. Open, Wimbledon were all mentioned. What is something...
Sorry, you said men's college baseball. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so we can scratch that answer off the list.
Wait, was that a shot at college baseball, or the fact that that Jerome thought to specify men's because women's is just softball?
I love college softball. College baseball does very little for me. It's not that exciting, and it doesn't do much for most people, because most people don't watch it. And many of those who do will only come around at the College World Series time, and I'll even, pass by a little bit in the College World Series. But no, college baseball, usually the players at that age, if you're great, you're playing somewhere else. And there's exceptions, no doubt, but it ranks way down the list of my favorite college sports.
So what is your favorite sport or sporting event to watch in that summer dead period?
I mean, obviously, yeah, baseball, but I'm a big golf guy. So, I know y'all were dogging the Open or whatever a little earlier. I heard you guys mentioning, anything in golf. The golf majors are coming along. That's fine. And I can survive after the NBA finals is over on just baseball and golf until football starts. I don't ever feel that desperate need to have something bigger than what it is. But World Cup will be exciting. Every 4 years when that pops up, it's fun and it's interesting, and people pay attention to it. And that's, people like me pay more attention to World Cup soccer than they do the MLS. And it's only it's a once in a lifetime when it comes around. It's pretty cool, and I'll be all over it and paying attention to it. Play probably a little bit more even this year since my girls are playing soccer. But I've seen, you know, soccer in Brazil, and I've seen it in Europe where it's really, really serious, and it's not the MLS. And I think a lot of people pay much more attention to World Cup soccer than they do a lot of other sports. So there really is no dead period when it comes to this year.
Jerome, you said you were a big golf guy. What do you think of the new proposal to bring the Houston Open back and eventually move it to Memorial Park? Obviously, they had to make a lot of changes to that course because it's nowhere near PGA ready. But is it a good idea to have it there? I'd like it back in the city, but at Memorial Park?
Memorial Park's a great track. I mean, it's a great golf course. If you play golf, you recognize how wonderful a course it is, how challenging it can be, and to have a PGA Tour level course in the heart of the city would be spectacular. It'll be a hassle while they're redoing the course, but I was around when they redid Memorial the first time, and it was spectacular when they were finally done with it. It's time for that overhaul, and the tournament would be in October, so that'll give people who play golf the grass that they'll end up probably having to use to have the course in top shape for October will be grass that'll give players who want to play just a beautiful venue. Now, actually, when the tournament is going on, it's going to be a mess. Stay as far away from it as possible because it's going to be a complete and utter, it's just going to be a mess. Too many people are going to one place at one time, all in the center spot. It's you know, logistically, I can see that being a real true hassle for that week, that whole week of that tournament. But for the rest of the year, for golfers, we should have a great course in town that's well-maintained, in great shape, and, you know, green fees will probably go up a bit, but still, it's a city-owned course. I like it coming back to where the tournament originated, and so many great golfers in history have played there, and it's a nice track, and it's going to be a monster to play. It'll be fun for PGA Tour players as well.
All right. I see it. I get it. Just I imagine the parking nightmare that'll be out there.
No, that's like I said. I'd recommend leaving town. If you live inside the loop, just leave town when the tournament is in that week because it's going to be a mess. But otherwise, you know, I think it's a good thing for the city, and I do think it matters that the Houston is open is in Houston and at that course. I mean, it was done really well at the Woodlands for a long time, and the course out at what used to be Red Oak, and beautiful course, beautiful venue. The players absolutely loved it, but I think the same can be made at Memorial. And I'll tell you this: nobody, but very few people in the city of Houston are as in tune with what golf is all about than Jim Crane. He's a great golfer. He has a course in Florida that is among the best courses anywhere.
So you own the Floridian? Is that the one he owns?
The Floridian, Yacht and Golf Club is ridiculous. That's where when Crane played with Barack Obama and Tiger Woods, they played there. It's a great course, and Jim Crane he's a serious golfer. He knows his stuff. So if Jim Crane puts his name on it, I'm one of those people who I believe in Crane and what he does and what he's about, and he's first class all the way. And he got a lot of flack for when he bought the Astros, remember? And people were dogging him about what he's going to do. And now we see the finished product, and it's like, okay, this guy actually delivers on said promises, and he kind of knows his stuff, and he knows more about golf. He might know more about as much about golf as he does about baseball, and he knows a lot about baseball because he was a big time college pitcher. So, and he's pretty much a scratch golfer. So I expect he won't put his name on it and let them put together something shabby. It'll be worth it for the city of Houston. But again, I bet those first couple of years it's going to be a mess getting in and out of that tournament on tournament weekend.
Yeah, probably right. That's Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist. Thanks, Jerome, for joining us here on The Blitz.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it, man. Y'all doing a good job. Keep it up.
Thank you. You can find him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon, spelled exactly how it sounds. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Blitz.
listening to The Blitz.
Hey, guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, no A.J. Hoffman, Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Avery, Jon Snow here on The Blitz today. Nice interview with Jerome Solomon just a second ago. Gave me some tidbits about Memorial Park as the potential Houston open spot in the future that I did not consider.
See, people didn't realize this about us. We can class it up a little bit and talk a little golf, talk a little tennis, talk some different stuff.
I'm going top button right now just to show the class.
Oh, see, that's like I'm about to take a sip of my water with my pinky out.
Wow. Well, it's that time, everybody. It's your favorite segment of the day on The Blitz. Let's go to the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day, the Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Best theme music on any show anywhere. As if things couldn't get worse in East Lansing for Michigan State University, Jermaine.
Oh, boy.
The Michigan Attorney General's Office has charged a Michigan State University physicist for allegedly
doing
something with a dog.
No.
Yeah.
Dude, are you serious?
Bestiality would be the word being tossed about.
Oh, my God.
Joseph Hatley, 51, of Holt, Michigan, faces up to 15 years in prison if convicted. An arrest warrant was approved Monday on two counts of sodomy for committing a crime against nature. An arraignment is expected later yesterday.
Good Lord, dude. Michigan State, get your crap together, man. I mean...
Yeah, I'm speechless. It's just amazing.
Bro, another Michigan State sexual harassment story. Are they drinking the water from Flint and it's making them crazy?
I don't know what's going on, but Michigan State, I mean, at this point with this stuff going on, burn it all down? You like to blow things up? You want to blow up Michigan State University?
Hey, man, look here. They need to do something. They need to just... It's almost like throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing that they need to get into over there. They need to really, really clean house because, I mean, this university needs to hit the... Remember on Nintendo when they used to have the power and the reset button?
Oh, yeah.
They just need to hit the reset button on the whole administration.
They, with all the lawsuits they're going to face, their endowment's going to shrink. I'll just put it that way. That's the best I can put it.
Okay, I pulled up... Here's the craziest part about... Well, that was the craziest part, but... He was arraigned on Monday afternoon, and Magistrate Mark Blummer set a $5,000 personal recognizance bond, meaning Hattie could be released without posting any money.
That should be $1 million bail.
You butt rape a dog, and you get to get released without having to post any money? I don't get that. I'm not, an animal advocate. I don't even own pets because I make a great living off of what pets do to other people's houses. But to say that he gets to basically be released without posting any money, this is just ridiculous to me.
Somewhere in Virginia or wherever he is these days, Michael Vick is giving a LeBron face to J.R. Smith. That's with that type of news.
You know, I don't get it. You can't do stuff like that and be allowed to just walk free. There should be a bigger payment and a bigger punishment for stuff like this. Because to me, and like I said, I'm not a huge animal lover, animal activist or anything like that. My grandmother had dogs when we were growing up. We only had one dog and it chewed the rope, ran away. But I'm just saying, man, that's not right. There should be something more that he should have to post bail and actually be monitored and whatnot, because this is something that he's basically he's going to get off and get away with for just defiling this dog. And that's not right.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
The dog in question was a basset hound, by the way, in case anybody
was wondering. I didn't need to know that. I want to get AJ to do an MTV Unplugged version of the Gym of the Day theme song.
Acoustic version?
Acoustic. I mean,
we're going to have to work on that.
A la old school Kurt Cobain, Unplugged.
Dude, we would need to turn, we'd have to set the mood. We'd have to turn the lights down in the studio and just put that spotlight on him with the backdrop backlit so that you just see the shadow of the band behind him and he's sitting on that stool with the guitar. That would be awesome.
It would be a lot of fun. Another interesting story we talked about, and we'll get into this a little quickly. There was a student in Texas who was sent home on the last day of school. He had his head shaved in solidarity with his mother who has brain cancer and was sent home from school for being a distraction because kids were signing his head on the last day of school.
You know what? This is the kind of stuff where I say humans are just absolutely despicable.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what the distraction on the last day of school is? The fact that you actually have to go to class.
That's the biggest distraction. People can sign T-shirts. They can sign yearbooks. They can sign all sorts of things. But because they decided to sign a kid's head who shaved his head to show solidarity with his mom who's battling cancer, I mean, really, people, just get your act together. Because there is no way in hell that this kid should have been sent home because they're signing his head. If you're going to say you can't sign his head, hell, they can't sign notebooks. They can't sign yearbooks. They can't sign T-shirts. They shouldn't be able to sign any damn thing. Why would you send a kid home because they're signing his head? Did you ask him why did he shave his head? Did you ask him why they're signing his head? No, but because it caused a distraction. Oh, we have to send you home because that's a distraction. That's a bunch of BS. There's more crap that I've seen in schools that can be a bigger distraction than a bald head getting signed by a bunch of other students.
They had the nerve, the superintendent or the principal, I'm not quite sure, I don't have the article in front of me, had the nerve to say it was also a health issue. I don't know many people who have gotten ink brain poisoning, but I mean, that's the only thing I could think of in that case. John, has that ever happened to you? Anyone signed your head and you felt sick as a result afterwards?
No.
No, didn't think so. I don't think anyone's ever signed your head either, but that's a different
story. Nobody's
ever
signed my bald head either, but still, that's just, you know, there's certain levels that I think that some of these people fall into, and these are the type of people I wish ill will upon. I'm just going to leave it at that because I'm too upset. I might cuss.
Two down, one left to go. Hour 3 coming up. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to The Blitz.